Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Giri Varadhari Jaya Giri Varadhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Giri Varadhari Jaya Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana 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 Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Jayo Panchatattva, 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 Jayo Panchatattva. Jai Panchatattva ki jai. Nrisimhadev, 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 Jayo Jai Nrisimhadev. Jayo Prabhupada, 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 Jayo Prabhupada. Jayo Gurudeva, 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 Jayo Gurudeva. Shri Radha Madhava Astasakis ki jai, Shri Panchatattva ki jai, Shri Nrisimhadev Bhagavan ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pravejakcharya Ashotara Shata Shri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pravejakcharya Ashotara Shata Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem Sekako Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadatara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Yamuna Mai Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Tusi Devi Ki Jai Jula Nyatra Ki Jai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we don't have verse on the board. We're going to read because there are actually 10, 11, 12 and 13. 5, 4. We are on the Canto 5, Chapter 4, 10, 11, 12, and 13. I'm going to read one by one, including the purport of Srila Prabhupada, which comes on the end of the 13th verse. And you don't have to repeat because there is a lot of to read, and I will start lecture. Okay? Text 10. Tam anukushavarta ilavarto brahmavarto mala ketur badrashenam indrashprig vidarbaha kikata iti nova navani pradanah. Translation. Following Bharata, there were 99 other sons. Amongst these were 9 elderly sons' names Kushavarta, Ilavarta, Brahmavarta, Malai, Ketu, Badrasen, Indrasprik, Virabah, and Kikata. Text 11 to 12. Kavir Havir Andariksha, Pradubaha, Pipalayanah, Avir Hotra Tadur Milash, Chamashash Karabajanah. Iti Bhagavata Dharma Dashana Nava Mahavabhata Bhagavatam Stesham Sucharitam Bhagavan Mahimo Pabritam Vasudeva Naradasam Badam Upashamayam Uparishtad Varnayai Shayamana. So translation, in addition to these sons were Kavi, Havi, Antariksha, Prabuddha, Pipalayan, Avirotra, Jumila, Chamasa, and Karabajan. They were all very exalted, advanced devotees and authorized preachers of Srimad Bhagavatam. These devotees were glorified due to their strong devotion to Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, they were very exalted. To satisfy the mind perfectly, I, Shukadev Goswami, shall hereafter describe the characteristics of these nine devotees when I discuss the conversation between Narada and Vasudeva. And text number 13. Yavijamsa ekashitir jayaneta puttur adekshara mahashalina mahashtotriya jannashila karmagrishbuddha brahmana bubu. So translation for this verse is, in addition to these 19 sons mentioned above, there were 81 younger ones, all born of Vrishabhadev and Jayanti. According to the order of their father, they became well-cultured, well-behaved, very pure in their activities, and expert in Vedic knowledge and the performance of Vedic rituals. Thus, they all became perfectly qualified brahmanas. Purport of His Divine Grace, Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. From this verse, we have good information of how the castes are qualified according to quality and work. Vrishabhadeva, king, was certainly a kshatriya. He had 100 sons, and out of these, 10 were engaged as kshatriyas and ruled the planet. 9 sons became good preachers of Srimad Bhagavatam, or Maha Bhagavatas, and this indicates that they were above the position of brahmanas. The other 81 sons became highly qualified brahmanas. These are some practical examples of how one can become fit for a certain type of activity by qualification, not by birth. All the sons of Maharaja Rishabhadev were kshatriyas by birth, but by quality some of them became kshatriyas and some became brahmanas. 9 became preachers of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Bhagavata Dharma Darshana, which means that they were above the categories of kshatriyas and brahmanas. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, those 3 verses, especially the last one, 13, are very interesting for us, because especially in India, there is a lot of talk. I was recently in South India with 2 other devotees, and you know, in South India you can hear a lot of stories about Asian brahmanas, about brahmanas for 20 or 30 generations coming down, brahmanas who are just particular to do some particular service. When you travel to Jagannath Puri also, you have the pandas which are taking, you know, from the ages. The same service is going through the same family. The same service for Lord Jagannath is going through the same family, despite, you know, their qualification in the present day. Still, tradition they're putting in front of qualification. But this verse actually is one of few verses which are proof that actually caste system doesn't have anything to do with traditions, with family heritage. It has everything with qualification. So, you have here the king Vrishabhadev, who was kshatriya, who was a king. And according to traditional looking for the caste system, all his sons supposed to be kshatriyas also. But not. Actually, and we are not talking about Kali Yuga here, we are talking about the other yuga, right? Which is even more strict, much more than today. So what's happened? Many, not some, but many of his sons became qualified to become a brahmanas. 81 sons became a brahmana, which was amazing. And according to their qualification, they got brahmanization, that they started doing the yagyas and everything else, even if their father is a kshatriya. 9 sons overcome even level of brahmana, and they became Mahabhagavat. That means preacher of Srimad Bhagavatam. Preachers of Srimad Bhagavatam, they are higher than brahmanas. We have to understand that point. Preachers of Srimad Bhagavatam are going below Brahman initiation. They are Mahabhagava. That means they are over, above the material nature. Above the material nature. They are above, according to mercy of the Mahabhagavat. That means Shastra. So, the point is that it doesn't have to be, if we are coming from the low caste families, that we have to be a low class person for the rest of our life. We can qualify it. For devotees who are coming from Western countries, you know, they're telling that families in the West are even lower than level of mlechas and avanas. But still, Srila Prabhupada gave us a really special mercy that we can take even the Brahman initiation and we can perform devotional service. Now, one interesting tech question which I want to deal with today is, what does it mean being Vaishnava? What is a Vaishnava? What is a Vaishnavism and what is devotee? We have to be very, very direct regarding that and to know exactly formulations to be able to perform our service properly. So, you all know that now it's Kali Yuga, right? It's just beginning of Kali Yuga. Only 5 years passed. 295,000 years still has to go. So the point is, it's beginning of Kali Yuga, and Srila Prabhupada mentioned that in the beginning of Kali Yuga there are 10,000 years. Actually now, from this moment, there's going to be 10,000 years with a special mercy that we can get. Somebody is calling the golden age of Kali. Means the Mahamantra came, the Lord Chaitanya came, and we have a very special chance and opportunity that we can go back to the spiritual world using one very simple process of Krishna consciousness, which Srila Prabhupada brought to us. It's amazing. We cannot even imagine how special is that attempt. How special and how simple and how wonderful is the way what Srila Prabhupada gave to us. It's like a perfect recipe, like simply wonderful. It's amazing. So, after 10,000 years, there are not going to be Vaishnavas anymore this planet. Srila Prabhupada explained that nobody will chant, nobody will be religious. All holy places will disappear from the surface. All holy rivers will disappear from surface. Govardhan will disappear from surface. So, there's not going to be religion anymore. Srila Prabhupada further explained that people are not going to have to eat anything anymore because there are not going to be crops around. Nobody will even bother to go on the field to make something. The atmosphere will be so spoiled that people cannot make plants anymore, cannot maintain, you know, planting. So they have to start eating themselves. So the stronger human beings will eat the weaker ones. You know what tigers are doing and, you know, different kind of animals. And that's really, really, you know, a serious alarm for us. I don't know how many Kali Yugas already we stayed on in the material world, but actually being in Kali Yuga is something really, really, really bad. And on the end of the Kali Yuga, the Krishna is coming in one particular form, in the form of Kalki, with a white horse and with a sword, and he's going to kill everyone. He's not going to spread religion. Srila Prabhupada was very particular with that. No, he's just coming to give a mercy to everyone, just to finish the Kali Yuga. And then Satya Yuga will start again. So, in one sense, in one way, we live in one very unfortunate age. In another sense, we live also in very special momentum, very special moment now, because this is the moment when Vaishnavism is coming to the planet Earth. This is a moment when we have a Vaishnavas amongst us. And explanation for Vaishnava is that Vaishnava is something much higher than any caste. It's much higher than Rudras, than Mlachas, than Kshatras. It's much higher than Brahmanas even. Much higher. Vaishnavas are those personalities who are connected with the Krishna himself, who are connected with the spiritual energy, and they have full right to play any role in society. When there is a need, they can play the role of Brahmanas. When there is a need, they can play the role of Kshatriyas, Mlechas, Shudras, Avana, whatever. But they are over that, they are above that. They're just playing the role. Same like you have a stage and the drama is going on. These actors are not real players. This is not their real life. They're just playing certain roles. I have a few excerpts from the Srila Prabhupada talking with another devotees, explaining exactly this particular point. Because there is so much talk around about are we all Brahmanas, or are we all, we have also Kshatriyas, who are the managers, are they Kshatriyas? No, we are all Vaishnavas, we are just playing different roles. In Kali Yuga, you don't have qualified Brahmanas. In Kali Yuga, you don't have qualified Sannyasis. In Kali Yuga, you don't have qualified Kshatriyas. Those things doesn't exist in Kali Yuga. But in Kali Yuga, you have qualified Vaishnava. And this is even higher category. This is something amazing. This is the highest what we can find in material world. This is what we call a devotee. This is what we call a devotional service. Somebody who devotes his time, his energy, his body, his soul. He devotes everything to the service of Lord, of the Lord Krishna. Hari Bol! So now there are a few experts I'm going to read. I'm also not in favor of reading. I remember Gita Nagari Prabhu mentioned one time, I'm not in favor of people who read here when he was giving lecture. I'm also not, but this is really interesting. I don't want to deviate Srila Prabhupada's words. That's why I want to read for you. So please read, listen carefully. It's quite interesting. What Srila Prabhupada said about Vaishnava. Who is a Vaishnava? So Tamal Krishna Swami asked Srila Prabhupada, in our centers, we are awarding Brahmana initiation, second initiation. Prabhupada stopped him. No. Initiation should go on. Even you don't understand what I have said, that is for Vaishnava. A Vaishnava and Vishnu. Just like Krishna is Vishnu. He is not human being, but he was acting like human being. Similarly, Vaishnava is transcendental. But for proper management of the material world, one should be acting like Brahmana. One should be acting like Kshatriya. That is required. Just like actually we are doing so. Some of you are preaching. Some of you are cleaning the temple. It does not mean that a sannyasi who is preaching, he is better than that man who is cleaning. No. Their position as Vaishnava is exactly the same. But for the management, one is cleaning, one is seeing the construction, one is going to preach like that. That should be there. It is not that because I have taken sannyas, therefore I cannot anymore do anything. If needed be, he has to act as a kshatriya or a shudra. It doesn't matter. That's Srila Prabhupada's words. Next one, to Hridayananda Prabhu. Hridayananda Maharaj, Swami, in that time he was Prabhu, I'm sorry. Oh, Prabhupada, doesn't matter. But manage. For management, this division must be there. Otherwise, it will be mismanaged. Yes, a Vaishnava coming to the position of doing the work of a Shudra does not mean he has become a Shudra. He is Vaishnava. Try to understand this point. Just like in the stage, if you want to play something, one must be king, one must be queen, one must be, but neither of them king or queen. That is stage play. Similarly, to manage things in the material world, we have to guna, karma, etc. Karma there must be. Therefore, the karma should be done, executed according to the quality. And after I read that, you know, it was much more clear. There was a lot of questioning. I mean, at least I heard a couple of conversations. Why Srila Prabhupada give so many sannyasis? Why did he give to so many, too much young people, right? They were not qualified. Why this? Why that? I mean, we have to understand that our questions are relevant, but that Srila Prabhupada's platform is much higher than our platform. First question is, who is a qualified sannyasi? Do we have anybody below the age of 100 who is really qualified to take sannyas? No. No. I mean, we have some very close souls, but qualification is something extra. There is no chance in Kali Yuga. We have a qualified Vaishnavas. We have a pure devotees. But sannyas means something else. Who is a qualified kshatriya? Who is a qualified manager? Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj recently given seminar to all our managers. You know, we all sit in one room, in the Lotus Conference room there, and he was talking about being a leader, doing a leadership instead of doing a management, instead of being a manager. There's a big difference, because manager is just somebody who is managing things without heart, right? He's just doing like a job, like company. You go there because of money, and then you're doing just your service, right? And you want to go home as soon as possible. Being leader means that you're doing everything with devotion, with heart. Being leader, doing leadership means that you're completely into that, that you're performing your service best possible you can, and you're trying to improve it, because you see the ultimate final goal there. So that's a Vaishnava. Being a Vaishnava is a very, very high standard. Being a Vaishnava means being devotee. Means whatever we are doing for the pleasure of the Lord. Forever, ever, whatever we are doing for the pleasure of the other Vaishnavas. That's the Vaishnava. Vaishnava is not the one who is playing bad political games. Vaishnava is not the one who wants something bad to happen to the other devotee. Vaishnava is not the one who doesn't please the Lord. Vaishnava is not the one who is thinking whole day how to make happy his senses. Okay, now I'm sitting here and I'm thinking how I'm going to make money outside. Or I'm thinking what will happen today. Or I should going to eat, what I should going to eat for the breakfast. Should I eat pizza? Or I should go in the Madhus? Or I should go here and there? No. That's not the Vaishnava attitude. I mean, of course, our mind is on all the time. And we have to respect him. He has to become our best friend in one moment, right? He's going to save us in one moment. But it's very long trip up to there, and until that time, we have to secure that he's going in the right direction with our intelligence. Vaishnava is a very intelligent person. Vaishnava is somebody who is a wizard. Somebody who is above all this material impurities. Vaishnava is above the Brahmanas. Vaishnava can go to clean the toilet, and still even after that cleaning, he still can chant his Gayatri and can perform different, of course, if he wash himself. But the point is about service, about attitude of servant. Vaishnava is a servant. That's the best formulation. Vaishnava is a servant. So, now we will discuss briefly about bhakti. What is a bhakti? You know, the bhakti plant is growing in all of us. Prabhupada mentioned that in the beginning of our devotional service, there is the small seed of bhakti plant. And how we are performing our devotional service, that bhakti plant is growing and growing and growing. And fortunately, in one moment, it's becoming the beautiful big tree, which will protect us, which will save us, and which will take us back to the spiritual world. So bhakti means, the translation for bhakti is actually a devotional service. Devotional service, again, as Srila Prabhupada explained here, doesn't mean what we are doing. Are we a director of ISKCON Mayapur, or we are GBC, or we are the chairman of the GBC, or we are a temple president, or we are, I don't know, whatever the secretary or this or that. No. Devotion means how we are performing that service which is given to us. This is devotion. Are we giving our best, what is given to us, to perform on the best possible way? Sometimes devotees, all devotees have a good heart. You know, I still didn't find devotee who has a bad heart. I saw devotees, including my son, who has a bad habits. But bad heart, it's not there. Because we are all here, you know, following our sincere desire to do something with our lives. So, what's happened is actually that being devotee, a reflection of that, who is which kind of devotee, you can see through how that person, that devotee, perform his devotional service. So, as I said, sometimes we are soft and we are taking too many things on our back. We are taking too many services. We want to do everything. We want to save the world. But that's not necessary. It's better to find a balance, to find the proper amount of service and to work on the quality, to work on the way how we perform that service. That's perfection. Even if you take one thing, you spend amount of time and do it right, do it on best possible way, then Krishna will be pleased. Krishna is not pleased with mode of passion. I think 20 things. Or another side of mode of passion is, I'm coming to Mayapur, now I'm back in the spiritual world, Hari Bol, I will have my home, I will go to my original country to make something for 2 months, coming back, have enough money for the rest of my year, and I will just come to a temple for the program. No. There is one great advice I got by His Holiness Sachinanand Maharaj before we came here. He was just about to come here. I asked him, can you give some advice? Because we spend a lot of time there in that area of the world together in service. I asked, give us some advice, our family, how to survive in the Holy Dham. And he told me, one thing is most important. Whatever, don't forget to have a service. Service is the most important in the Holy Dham. If you don't have a service, you're not going to last long. You're not going to last long. Your mind has to be engaged 24/7 in the holy place. We are thinking, there is the carnival there, finally we got here, there is a lot of devotees around, it's amazing. So basically whatever I'm doing is devotional service. No, devotional service doesn't mean our performance, what we are doing. Devotional service means how we are doing. Is our mind inside? Because sometimes I see devotees on the west. They're there. They're working hard. They live in company. In surroundment of 3 kilometers, there is no other devotee. They're sitting in their home all the time. They're performing hard job and everything. But they think about Mayapur all the time. I see chattings, you know, on Mayapur TV. Devotees are chatting between each other and everything from all over the world. Their heart, their mind, their soul are here. And unfortunately, I also saw some souls around who are in Mayapur, who had that fortune to be here, but their mind is somewhere else. They're thinking about America, they're thinking about Australia, they're thinking about material enjoyments and everything else. That's not perfection. Those devotees will not last long here. Even if they last long, they will not be happy. So another symptom how we can recognize a Vaishnava, except way how he performed his service, is how happy he is. A person is not happy, that means he is not doing something right. Sometimes devotional service can be hard. We all understand devotional life can be hard. But deeply in our side, if we are doing right, we are going to feel peace. Whatever is happening around us. Haridas Thakur was beaten on 27 squares here in Mayapur. 27. But still he didn't lose his temper. He never didn't say a bad word. He never didn't even accuse people who did it. Because he knows he's doing right in his heart. So once devotee feels peace, feels happiness, this is a symptom that he knows he's doing the right thing. That's bhakti. then bhakti plant will grow. Because bhakti plant doesn't grow from the air, from the top, from outside, from this matrix around us, from illusion. Bhakti grows from deep, from the root, and root is in the ground. And ground is nothing more but our, what we are doing, our activities, our services. So, another characteristic of devotion, of being devotee, is love. Love is one wonderful feeling. We have some kind of idea what does it mean, love, by having exchanges between each other, with another human beings, with the pets, with the plants, with the trees, with the sky, whatever. You know, sometimes we feel good, sometimes we feel just a glimpse, just a small, small drop of the real love. What does it mean in the real sense? And the real love means that in one moment we develop all those feelings towards only one person, and that's Krishna. And Krishna is not that what we imagine is Krishna. Krishna is not just one man sitting opposite of me and I have to focus. You know, for ladies sometimes it's easier to think, okay, I love Krishna. You know, he's man. But for gents, it's really hard. Well, I have to love him. He's another man. And, you know, this is mine, of course. We intelligent, you all understand that. But love doesn't mean you have to embrace somebody and to have something innocent. But love means you need to develop deep feelings towards someone. Love means somebody is doing something amazing for me, and I want to cry how much that person did for me. I don't want just to pay my obeisances. I really want to hug that person. And I just want to do something wonderful for him, to be happy also. Because Krishna is not happy if we are not happy. Krishna is not happy if we are not giving him love. Krishna is not happy when we are behaving bad with another devotees. Krishna is not happy when we are thinking bad about another devotees. Yes, it's true, in the Kali Yuga, it doesn't count what we think, like in another yugas. But Krishna can hear what we think. Krishna knows what we think. We cannot cheat because he's inside. So that's why devotion means to make Krishna happy. Not just by grabbing his body and doing things and bringing the flower. No, with the feelings. Feelings are most important. Feelings. We should start changing feelings with the Lord. We should start changing the positive, the great feelings of love. So, there are different stages of development of bhakti, how we can develop bhakti plant given by Rupa Goswami and recommended by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I just want to put a small focus on that one. So the first stage of bhakti, the practice of bhakti actually, is performance or practice. That means we have to start practicing. You know, same now, you have many movements around the world, how to make big money, how to do visualizations, how to do this thing. But you know what? This visualization is a true thing. It's a fact. With visualization, we can do many amazing things. So they are telling, if you visualize, you know, a lot of money, a good job, a good wife, a great kid, these things will happen to you. Right? You read about those stuff? I don't know, Napoleon Hill and there are so many preachers even today, they're going around the world and talking about that. They got a glimpse of truth. Visualization is magical stuff. But instead of using just for material benefit in Krishna consciousness, we are using practice or visualization in beginning to develop the bhakti plant. Even if we don't feel a taste, we still have to continue our practice on the same way like the taste is here. Even if sometime we don't feel a taste to wake up in the morning, we still have to wake up. Because taste will come. But if we stop practice, the bad habits will come. And then we cannot develop taste. So to be able to develop taste, we have to develop determination first. And determination means that we have to practice. That means that even when we don't feel a beauty in certain activity, we have to perform it to be able to reach the taste. The taste for devotional service is something highest in this world, in material world. You see, in the middle of material, where everything is around us material and all our senses are super active, we have to develop desire for devotional, which is covered, it's hide here, it's not exposed so much. And for that, it will take a lot and a lot of flying and climbing to the higher areas of energies, to the higher levels of energies. You know, with the mountain climbers, they're going, you read the stories, this guy went to Mount Everest, that guy went here and there. It's not that easy. Maybe first 2,000-3,000 meters are like, nice. Then after that, the air is, you know, is not same as air in the ground level. Then they start speaking dizzy, then they start feeling all different kind of symptoms. When you're just, they're telling the hardest part to reach the Mount Everest, the last 500 meters. The last 500 meters, you're so close. Almost 9-10 of the road you already passed. There is one small glimpse, but that's almost impossible. That's the point where 80% of people failed and come back. Because, you know, they depend on the weather, they depend on the air, they depend on their mind, they depend on so many things. So many people even die there. So we are thinking after your devotee 10, 15, 30 years, it's going to be easier. It's illusion. No, it could be more tough only because we are higher. That doesn't mean that we are doing wrong thing. We are doing right thing. But taste is still not there. Because taste is very high. We have to reach the top of the practice, of the level of practice, to reach the taste. In one moment, that taste is just start happening. And then we don't have to worry about it. We cross the level. We're going to the next one. And the next level, after practice, is what they call a maturation. You know, maturation means when you're already on certain level, you're stable somewhere. Means that your emotions, our emotions are becoming spiritual. Our emotions are not material anymore. Our desires are not material anymore. This is maturation according to Srila Rupa Goswami. That means that we are becoming a spiritual, that our senses, what is most important, are becoming spiritual. This is maturation. And then whatever we perform, whatever we do during the day, our only desire is really to please the Lord. Nothing else. So simple. Just to please the Lord. I'm going in my office to please the Lord. I wake up in the morning to come here to please the Lord. He's so happy when I'm there. I'm maintaining my family just to please the Lord. Everything what I'm doing, I'm reading just to please the Lord. Whatever I'm doing, I'm just doing to please the Lord. And then you feel bliss and you feel peace. In one moment the peace is coming. That peace is a symptom that actually we are on the level of maturation. And then from that point on, this is still not the end. Because to maturation, you have to maintain it. Because even from the level of maturation, we can fall down again and practice. If we, you know, surrender to mind one particular moment. If we don't desire anymore. You see, if you come on the spiritual level, if you continue desiring spiritual things, one after another, then you're in the safe zone. But if in one moment, we don't desire anymore, that we are happy with our present life, that's dangerous. Then material desires are coming because we have to desire. There is no way that we cannot desire. We are the beings who always desire things. Even animals are. What to speak about human beings. So in one moment, if you maintain maturation, we are coming to the level of perfection. And perfection is actually that we awake a pure love for Krishna. This is not anymore just desires, spiritual desires. It's not anymore that we want to please the Lord. It's that we love Him. That we love Krishna. That's perfection. So we can perform that. We can think about that, we can meditate. It's always good to meditate on that way. But once we reach that level, we will know we are there. Oh yes, we will know we are there. There is no doubt on that. Until that time, we have to practice. Until that time, we have to give our best. And how to practice, that's given also. It's again given by previous acharyas, by Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami confirmed in a couple of occasions. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that's the best way. And Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned many, many times. So they are the five most powerful bhakti practices. One is chanting the holy name of the Lord on any possible way. That means japamala, kirtan, bhajan, in your mind, whatever. Just we have to chant the holy name. And we have to work on chanting. That means we have to improve our chanting. That means that our meditation, when we are doing chanting, has to be better and better. That means we have to learn to chant properly. Then the next one is reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam is something what we have to maintain, and also it's one of the five most powerful bhakti practices. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam has to be regular. That means every day we have to read, again and again. Bhagavad Gita as well. So without that, it's not possible to develop bhakti. There are many devotees after, not many, but maybe some, after some time, after years in Krishna consciousness, they stop reading. Or they read from time to time. But that's dangerous. That's really extremely dangerous thing. Because through knowledge, we are becoming closely connected with Krishna. Without that, we are becoming closely connected with the Maya, with illusion. Without knowledge, it's not possible to advance in the spiritual life. So Srila Prabhupada was right. We have to read every single day. Every single day. Because reading means that we are already there in the spiritual lila. You know when you're watching some karmi movie and then you completely became absorbed in that. You're there. Your mind is not in your body anymore. Your mind is that TV screen. You're there. You're somewhere performing action with, I don't know who's actor or whatever, you know. Present movies, a lot of violence, there is a lot of violence and so many, you know, funny stuff that we have to be so careful to avoid. So same thing, this is also kind of movie, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, reading Bhagavad Gita. In this case, you are together in Krishna in movie, and that's very safe zone, it's very protected zone. And then, this is only place when Srimad Bhagavatam absorbs us inside, absorb our attention, our, you know, full thinking, meditation, we are there. We are not just reading a book, we are there in the spiritual world. At that place, we start developing spiritual desires. In that place, we are purifying ourselves. That's our safe zone during a day, a comfort zone. Dream is not our comfort zone. Dream is dangerous. That's why we should not sleep so much. But reading Srimad Bhagavatam is, that's our going to another world and catching the right level of energy. If we don't have that, it's very hard to succeed. It's not very hard. It's just not possible. The third powerful bhakti practice is worshipping the deities. We all have on one way or another to worship the deities, that means Archa Murti of the Lord. Either in temple, either if you have deities at home, either even in the book or whatever, but we have to worship the deity. And not just to do material worshipping, that means I go there, I do something, and again, my heart and my mind is somewhere else. I'm thinking about some object of sense enjoyment. No, we have to be fully absorbed in the Lord when we are worshipping the Lord. Because Archamurti is so merciful, is so great. Krishna came in that shape to spend some time in our world. You know, reading Srimad Bhagavatam is we are going to His world. Worshipping the deity means Krishna is coming to our world. And we have to be the best host, right? Krishna is coming to us, we need to host him on the best possible way. Then, next. Okay, Haribol. Service. Hare Krishna. So, worshipping the deity is very important. Worshipping the deity, Srila Prabhupada recommended that we should sometimes worship the deity in our mind also, in our heart. We don't need to have present deities in front of us to worship. You can just sit in the bench in any park, you close your eyes, you can meditate on any deity you want, on any form of Krishna you want. And you can bring the diamonds, we can bring amazing flowers, we can bring a beautiful cloth to Krishna. It's even easier to worship on that way than really to worship in reality. And it's more beautiful even. And it's deeper. This is the real worshipping. You know, again, many devotees are sitting in their homes around the world and they're seeing our darshans in the morning and they're seeing different things. They discuss about cloth, they discuss about, oh, they're here. Don't think if my body is here, that I'm here and his body is not here, that he is not here. They are here. We are there, where is our mind? The observation has to be, doesn't matter, you know. Also, if somebody is living far away from here, they're telling, okay, for me it's just not possible. That's wrong. It's possible. Now we have Mayapati TV, we have, you know, ISKCON TV, all different tools are given. That we cannot find excuse that is something is not possible. Everything is possible. The fourth way, the fourth practice which we have to perform is association with devotees. That's something what is much easier in the Holy Dham because there are many devotees around. And it's more difficult outside, but devotees somehow manage that. If we don't, we are social beings. You know, we need to have association. If we don't associate with devotees, we will associate with karmis, or we'll have association of bad habits or whatever. But we need to have association all the time. In Kali Yuga, you also don't have qualified yogis. Yogi who will sit on Himalayas alone, just thinking about Mahavishnu, meditating for 10, 20,000 years. No, they're not qualified yogis, unfortunately. So everything what we have is association, but association means proper association. Not, okay, come to my place, let's do some nonsense today afternoon. No, proper association means that we have to remind each other about Krishna. Proper association means that we have to perform devotional service together, to think about Krishna, to talk about Krishna, to devote our time on the wonderful way. And proper association means we should not speak bad and about another devotees, because that's also association. You coming to Mr. Das and telling about another Mr. Das something bad, this is also your association with that person. Bad association. But this is not association what Srila Rupa Goswami is talking about. This is something else. This is Vaishnava Parad. We have to avoid. We need to have a proper association with Vaishnavas. That's number four. Without that, again, it's not possible to develop bhakti. Number five is very sweet for us. But again, there are both sides of medal. Number five is living in the holy place. We have to live in the holy place. So now the you know, Brajbasis and Mayapuri Basis will tell, oh, yeah. I did this one. Great. Finally, one for me. But that's again not true. I'm sorry. Why? Yes, we are here. It's holy place. It's Mayapur. It's amazing. We are getting a lot of spiritual benefits. But the point is, what is written here, living in a holy place, means that we and our heart, our meditation, our desires has to be in the holy place. So sometimes you can have even somebody, you know, sitting in America now living in the holy place. Because his full heart, his full observation, his full meditation is in the holy place. And sometime again, I'm telling you, we can have some devotees who are here, but they are not in the holy place. They are somewhere else. I catch myself sometime, you know, when I'm so tired, you know, I'm just thinking about, you know, some beautiful sandy beach. an ocean, and this and that. I'm not in a holy place anymore. Finish. Bas. Holy place, living in a holy place means really being in a holy place with full mind and soul. This is being in a holy place. It is true, it's easier for us. Krishna give us perfection, we are here. But that doesn't mean that we are living in the holy place. Living in the holy place means all the time how I can make the holy place better. How I can maintain properly the holy place. How I can host people who are coming to the holy place. How I can improve my life since I'm here in the holy place. We know to count very well. Oh, holy place, everything counts 500 times more. Whatever I do counts 500 times. But, you know, changing our heart depends only on us, only upon us. So that's living in the holy place. And it's simple as that. If we maintain these five practices, these five performances, our life becoming perfection, we are coming in one moment on the level of maturation. If we maintain enough spiritual desires, we come in one moment on the level of perfection, and then we are ready to go back to the spiritual world. It's simple as that. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions? Any comments? Okay, thank you very much. Wish you a nice day and a lot of devotional service. Hare Krishna.